From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Abby Larico. More than a dozen states that don't share a border with Mexico are part of Operation Lone Star. Missouri is one of them.
Critics and academics who've analyzed the arrest data from the state say that Operation Lone Star is having almost no impact on cross-border flows, and these troops are spending their days staring at sand and performing traffic stops.
The Midwest Newsroom examines what Operation Lone Star involves and why non-border states are part of it, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Tonight, Missouri is set to execute Marcellus Williams for a 1998 murder. As St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman reports, this is after Monday, the state's high court rejected his appeal.
Williams has always maintained that he had nothing to do with the fatal stabbing of a former St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter, and prosecutors came to believe that he was innocent. But a circuit judge rejected attempts to throw out the conviction, and the state Supreme Court agreed. In a unanimous opinion, the High Court wrote there was no evidence Williams didn't kill Felicia Gale or that there were serious problems with his conviction. Nimrod Chappell is the president of the Missouri chapter of the NAACP. He says he hopes the U.S. Supreme Court steps in.
It would make every Missourian, every taxpayer in this state, complicit in the murder of an innocent man, and that we cannot have.
The execution is scheduled for 6 o'clock tonight. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.
The man accused of killing St. Louis Metropolitan Police Officer David Lee by hitting him with his car Sunday is facing felony charges. Police say 24-year-old Ramon Chavez Rodriguez was intoxicated and driving 18 miles per hour over the speed limit when he hit Lee on Interstate 70 near Grand Boulevard. St. Louis Circuit Attorney Gabe Gore says Rodriguez is not a U.S. citizen.
I mean, that's not relevant to our charges except for the purposes of considering whether or not he should be granted a bond. My understanding is that he did have a hearing on his immigration status that was set for later this month or later in October.
Rodriguez was on supervised probation for a domestic battery conviction in 2022. St. Charles County prosecutors have filed a motion to have that probation revoked. Updated versions of two COVID-19 vaccines are now available at pharmacies and clinics in the St. Louis region. St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Fenton reports the Federal Food and Drug Administration approved vaccines for emergency use in August.
Health officials say everyone should get a vaccine, particularly those who are immunocompromised or older adults. If you've recently tested positive for COVID, doctors say you should wait 3 months before getting the updated shots. People who recently got a COVID vaccine can also wait. Catherine Gilmore is a pharmacist and professor at the University of Health Sciences and Pharmacy in St. Louis. She says the newest vaccines are formulated to fit strains that drove the spread of infections over the summer.
It kind of outsmarts our immune system and changes a little bit, which is why we have different strains. It's why we keep coming up with new vaccines to treat those strains.
A limited amount of the new COVID vaccines will soon be available for those without insurance at St. Louis County Health Department clinics. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois' efforts to ban certain food additives could get attention at a Food and Drug Administration hearing this week. State lawmakers tried to ban chemicals like red dye number 3 and propylparaben earlier this year. It got a lot of pushback from people who said the FDA should handle food safety, not lawmakers. But now the FDA is studying whether there's a better way to gauge the safety of food additives like the ones Illinois tried to ban. Secretary of State Alexi Giannoulias says it's about time.
The agency's action is unprecedented and marks a solid, albeit embarrassingly late, first step for consumers.
The FDA's meeting is open to the public, and there's a virtual option to attend and submit comments. Illinois' legislation, known as the Illinois Food Safety Act, passed out of the state Senate in April, but hasn't been taken up by the House. It's 6 weeks till Election Day. Missouri and Illinois aren't competitive states in the race for the White House, but as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, Missouri and Illinois residents are still compelled to contribute to Democratic and Republican candidates.
Missouri and Illinois have not been competitive presidential states for years, but Columbia resident Sarah Medcalf still donated money to Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris.
I don't think that Missouri is a solid red state. I think that it has the opportunity to go purple.
Over in Illinois, St. Clair County Republican Party Chairman Michael Butler says he wants a strong showing for Trump to help Metro East state legislative candidates.
So So it brings a lot of excitement. It brings a lot of energy, which is something that we're looking to capitalize on.
Democrats have won Illinois since 1992, while Republicans have prevailed in Missouri since 2008. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The overall African American population in the St. Louis region is on the rise, but St. Louis City's Black population is shrinking. It's no longer a majority Black city. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
A decade ago, there were about 150,000 Black residents in St. Louis. Today, the census estimates show around 113,000 living in the city. Although the Black population has been declining, the latest data shows an increase of a couple thousand people since last year. Demographers say this suggests stability. Delicia Lacey is the St. Louis area chapter president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. She says it's up to leaders to provide policies that ensure Black families can afford to stay in the city.
Until we address truly our inventory and vacancy issue as a city, we're going to keep seeing the struggle in St. Louis.
Lacey says more incentive programs for down payments would help keep Black people in St. Louis. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri, as well as Iowa and Nebraska, have all deployed National Guard troops and law enforcement agents to the U.S.-Mexico border as part of Operation Lone Star. Texas Governor Greg Abbott launched the operation in 2021, saying the Biden administration was not doing enough to keep undocumented immigrants and illegal drugs out of the country. Journalist Callie Cox has been reporting on this story for the Midwest Newsroom, sharing some of their findings here with managing editor Holly Edgel.
It was created with the goal of securing the border by intercepting unlawful immigrants and fentanyl coming into the U.S. Critics and academics who've analyzed the arrest data from the state say that Operation Lone Star is having almost no impact on cross-border flows, and these troops are spending their days staring at sand and performing traffic stops.
Operation Lone Star is a Texas initiative, but to date there are 15 states involved. Interestingly, none of them share a border with Mexico except Texas. You found that Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska governors have sent 519 National Guard service members and 143 state patrol troopers and other personnel to the border. What are the governor's reasons for being part of Operation Lone Star?
So these Republican governors of these states argue that under the Biden administration, every state is now a border state. Iowa and Nebraska became involved with the operation early on in 2021, while Missouri only jumped into the mix in 2024. It doesn't appear that any of these states sent aid in 2022, which was a big election year.
One of the experts you talked to mentioned the political aspect of this.
Tony Payan, who's a researcher in Texas and Mexico and an expert on the border, claims that this operation is really just political theater and it has no real impact on the cycles of fentanyl or immigration into the U.S. He also argues in the story that Governor Greg Abbott has no real interest in solving this problem, and he knows Operation Lone Star isn't making a big impact on the cycles of immigration, but that he wants to maintain the issue as sort of crisis maintenance to keep it in the headlines for his political gain.
Callie, how much money are we talking about and where does the money come from?
Combined, these three states have spent approximately $7.1 million on these deployments. A lot of this funding has come from American Rescue Plan Act funds, as well as interest accrued from pandemic relief funds. And in Missouri, this was paid for by a special supplemental budget request Governor Mike Parson asked for.
You talked about Tony Payan, a researcher at Rice University who's been studying the operation.
He's constantly traveling on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border, and he's frequently seen these National Guard troops from other states just standing in the middle of nowhere, bored out of their minds. He told me that he often sees these long lines at legal ports of entries where immigrants are waiting to seek asylum or to enter lawfully. And on the Mexican side, he's visited shelters that are overwhelmed with immigrants waiting to cross the border.
You asked the governors of Iowa, Missouri, and Nebraska to speak to specifics for this story. What kinds of responses did you get?
None. So some of them referred me to old press releases and other departments like the National Guard and the State Patrol, but these departments also refused to speak about Operation Lone Star. We have several records requests that are pending we hope can shine some light on the involvement of these states.
Is there an end date to Operation Lone Star?
There's no end in sight for Operation Lone Star. Nebraska and Iowa have continued to send troops into 2024. Missouri's deployment ended, and while there are no current plans to send troops again, Governor Parsons said in a previous statement, "Should Governor Abbott and the state of Texas call on Missouri again, we are prepared to answer."
That was Midwest Newsroom contributing reporter Callie Cox speaking with managing editor Holly Edgel. You can find more details about Operation Lone Star at stlpr.org. The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration between NPR and public radio stations in Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.